This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Sharmila Gunnison and Lim Soo Ann. So today on our second story, we are going to talk about something that I think all of us feel most of the time, if not all of the time, worry.
Yes, so we are asking you on Twitter, do you think you worry too much? Clearly from the answers, nearly 82% of you say yes, definitely, while 18% of you say no, I'm pretty chilled. So that's a pretty huge margin of people who are worrying too much. I think I'd vote myself there as well. Yep. You can continue to take that poll. You can share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Yeah, there's just so much to worry about, isn't there? I mean, it can range from, will I make it to my next paycheck? Yes. You know, do my colleagues actually like me? Mm-hmm. You know, and who knows what else in between.
Am I taking enough care of myself? Uh-huh. What about my family? Am I being a good person? Is this going to go on for the rest of
the show? It's like a rabbit hole, right? Yeah. You know, even when you work out, am I working out enough?
Yeah.
And then you worry that you're worrying too much.
Yeah. You worry that you've forgotten to worry about something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is something I really do. When I'm not worrying, I worry why I'm not worrying.
Yeah.
What is going on? So, but you know what? It might help you to know that if you worry about worrying too much, like me, it's something that you just really can't help. James Carmody, who is a professor of medicine, of medicine and population health sciences at the University of Massachusetts in medical school, he writes in an article in The Conversation that we humans are just simply hardwired to worry.
Thank you, James Carmody, for making me feel a little normal. So according to him, our brains just keep imagining futures that will meet our needs and things that could stand in the way of them. And sometimes any of those needs may be in conflict with each other. So worry happens when that vital planning gets the better of us and these worrisome thoughts occupy our attention to no good effect. So tension, sleepless nights, preoccupation and distractions around those very people we care for, worry's effects are just endless. So worrying can have you so mentally out of place that you can't actually focus on the day-to-day activities that you're supposed to be doing.
And for something so common, worry is somewhat of an enigma. Sometimes worry can seem like the good guy because we credit it with helping us to get motivated, to stay on top of things, to have a plan B, C, D, E. And indeed, for some of us, anxiety is quite a familiar and oddly reassuring feeling.
Like for me.
But more often as well, anxiety is also the bad guy. So we can't turn off our brain. Mm. We lie awake long after it's time to wind down. We get stuck in our heads when we should be in the moment. And we overthink everything from our career path to whether or not we should pay the extra 30 cents for an organic onion at the supermarket.
These are the times that we live in, you know, the climate crisis and everything. But worries, you know, is very, very exhausting. And you could say that worry's partner in crime is physical tension. So sometimes this worry manifests as, you know, back pains, gastrointestinal problems, clenched jaws, even chronic headaches. I know somebody who realized they were grinding their teeth in their sleep. A family member of mine had that issue as well. And sometimes the way we cope with worry just makes things worse, you know, because we do things like we stress eat or we bug our partners for reassurance, you know, and then we just make frantic attempts to distract ourselves. So even our healthy coping can get hijacked by worry, like what I mentioned earlier, you know, am I doing meditation right? You know, am I doing this exercise right? Does pain, you know, pacing count as exercise? Mm.
So why do we worry so much? So according to Ellen Hendrickson, who is a clinical psychologist at Boston University's Center for Anxiety and Related Disorders, yes, that is a real center, worry serves a very important purpose, actually. It allows us to avoid our negative feelings. So in an article in the Scientific American, Ellen Hendrickson cites a theory from a study in the journal Behavior Therapy, which says that worriers are hypersensitive to jolts of negative emotions. So what that actually means is that worry acts as a buffer. So it shrinks that jarring and excruciating gap that worriers have to bridge between feeling good and feeling bad. But it also keeps them in a state of constant negativity. So rather than feel good and be blindsided if something really goes wrong, worriers feel like they can stay in a prepared state of low-level distress. So it's kind of protective even if it is uncomfortable.
I just relate to that so much.
So in Professor James Carmody's article that we mentioned earlier, he also says that our brains sabotage the happier present moment. So human brains have evolved to do this automatically. We plan for scarcity and other threats. You know, these are important things to do to ensure survival. But the downside is anxiety. So apparently studies have shown that some people prefer electric shocks to being left alone with their thoughts.
Oh my word.
So with that in mind, right, how do we stop worrying? So Professor Carmody's answer is mindfulness. So he says that mindfulness, the practice of observing our mind's activity, this affords both real-time insight into this default feature of the mental operating system and a capacity to self-regulate it.
So according to him, you know, this is confirmed by studies showing increased attention regulation, working memory and awareness of mind wandering that develop only after a couple of weeks of mindfulness training. So imaging studies similarly have shown that this kind of training actually reduces default mode activity and it enriches our neural connections that facilitate attentional and emotional self-regulation. So basically, it just keeps us calm. Mm. And mindfulness training, for example, asks students to direct their attention to the sensation of breathing. And you know what? That really may seem easy, but the mind just resists, you know. It resists so very tenaciously. So despite repeated resolve, a person finds that within seconds, their attention has effortlessly defaulted to planning daydreams. Mm. So can we ever actually stop worrying, you know, seeing that we're hardwired to do this? So I wanted to find out about that. And earlier today, I got in touch with Paul Jambunathan, who is a consultant clinical psychologist. And here are his thoughts on that.
Yes, well, there's something that you can do, actually. One thing is, I always talk about this when I talk about mental hygiene and work-life balance and things of that nature and stress management and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you worry, the only way to handle worry is to do something about your worry. First of all, you've got to conceptualize your worry and break it down into a practical definition. I am worried about this for this reason, which means you need to operationalize or rationalize your worry. It's not a fantasy worry, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm worried I'm going to get $1 million, and then what do I do with that? That's not the point. I'm worried about the forthcoming exam, mm-hmm. and that's the point. Mm-hmm. Now, so then what can I do about it, you know? Mm-hmm. The worry is definitely hardwired. It's definitely evolutionary. It is meant for our survival. I'm going to cross this road. I need to be worried about my safety. That's I'm right. going to cross this river to harvest my wheat, you know, in the olden days. I need to worry about being a victim of prey. Now, it's very good. Worry helps you anticipate a future problem. Worry helps you motivate yourself to do things in preparation for unplanned outcomes. That's right. It's a very good thing. Even if you work through the old Maslow's hierarchy, from one level that you've attained, mm-hmm. attained just survival stuff, you then worry about the next level. How do you anticipate for it? How do you plan for it? How do you actualize it? How do you optimize it? So worry is a motivator. People have wrongly understood what worry can do. Now, these are one of the practical aspects, the clinical applied stuff about worry. Mm-hmm. So my idea is, if you're worried, worry about it. But do something about your worry. Don't just leave it hanging as a cognitive, emotional component that forms a kind of a cancer that eats away at you. Mm. Do something about it, which means you need to redefine it, operationalize it, make sure that it's rational, and then do something about it. So yes, it's okay. Worry is fine. Worry is fine. I'm more worried about the people who don't have worry.
I bet some people, like, I know this is something I do. When I'm not worried, I'm worrying why I'm not worrying.
Exactly. You know, when I over-prepare for a holiday and I'm not worried 1 hour before I leave, I always tell the family, I'm worried that I'm not worried. Which is a good thing. Now, that's very close to the line of becoming OCD or perfectionistic, you know.
So that is actually what I wanted to ask. You know, when can that actually, when does it become a real problem, you know, especially for our mental health, all this worrying?
When you feel that what you've done is not good enough. I mean, some people who are perfectionists, they are people who worry too much. Mm-hmm. Their targets, their goals, their anticipation of outcomes may be unreal. So they need some kind of reevaluation of outcome definition of what they're anticipating. Or maybe they need a little bit of an exercise in understanding the present. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that this article talks about is mindfulness.
That's right, yeah.
Now, mindfulness is a very, very good exercise, but people have taken it out of context in a big, big way. It's actually become a little bit of a monster for us, for the therapists in town these days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's kind of swinging to the other extreme now, where it tells you almost don't worry about tomorrow. You know, enjoy the now.
Right. Seize the day and all of that.
And people are worried. They're just saying, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to do it now. Hello. I want you to be highly aware of tomorrow. Worry about tomorrow, but I don't want you to forsake the joy of having a now. I want you to learn to enjoy the now, because you're not refueling yourself. You're not engaging yourself into the zone for the now, thinking about tomorrow. Hello. If you're practicing mindfulness, which I help a lot of people do, when you practice mindfulness, have a piece of paper or have a tape recorder next to you. When a worrying thought, we call it negative intrusive thoughts, come into your mind, record it. I'm worried about my mom. Put it down. I'm worried about my exam. Put it down. Let it go. Enjoy the moment now. Let your body collect itself. Let your breathing center itself. Let you enjoy your sotong dish, you know. Enjoy your friendship. Enjoy your sleep and meditate. Enjoy the now. Then come back to, okay, what can I do about this worry afterwards? Now what can I do about my worry? Then get through your to-do list. It doesn't mean you forsake the worry. It means enjoy the now, enjoy the happy moment now, and then you move forward. So mindfulness is very good. It helps you focus. It helps you focus on not just your now, but also about things that come into your mind about tomorrow. You know, my worries. You're focusing also on your worries because they are negative and intrusive for a reason. There's a reason for these thoughts to be negative and intrusive. It could be from your subconscious. It could be from a noise you just heard downstairs because it's 4 a.m. in the morning, mm-hmm. and you hear something. Or what do you think? It's going to be Santa Claus. It probably is an intruder. So get worried about it. Do something about it.
And so mindfulness is one thing. You know, what about things like, you know, the article also spoke about things like meditation, for example, or yoga, or any, you know, sort of physical activities as well that will help sort of calm the mind. You know, do you also kind of recommend things like that?
Most definitely. What I recommend is any exercise or any technique that helps you center yourself, slow down your processes. Two important processes we need to slow down. One is your physiological process, and the other one is your mental process, your cognitive processes. Mm-hmm. You need to slow these down because they're moving at extremely fast rates. Thoughts and your nerves and physiology overtake one another, and they confuse the body. That's how people get into panic attacks. That's how they lose their trend of thinking and clarity.
That's right.
So slow these down. So anything that can slow you down. Now, worrying is a cognitive component. It's something in your mind, your thoughts. And then if that overtakes yourself, you kind of trigger off bodily responses, and then you get into an anxious state where your physiology kicks in, your adrenaline kicks in, your breathing starts racing.
That's right.
And then that further confuses the thoughts. It's a vicious cycle. So anything, meditation, mindfulness, yoga, anything that deliberately slows you down and helps you focus on things, then you can select your focus. You know, a spinning, colorful top looks white. You will not see clarity of the colors in the top till the top slows down. And then you'll see the different spectrum of colors. Get it? Then you see the colors, then you pick up the colors and say, let me deal with the orange. Not only that, it's not just in terms of problems and negativity, even in terms of positive beauty. We need to focus and be mindful about our children, about the good things that happen about us. So it's not necessarily about worrying sometimes. Sometimes it's also about enjoying other things too.
So that was consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. And Paul, of course, has a monthly show with us, which is on every first Wednesday of the month. So you can tune in to, hear him then, or you can listen to our previous show with Paul by searching for the podcast on the BFM app. So I was just wondering, you know, do you guys have coping mechanisms for all that worry? You know, I mean, how do you sort of break out of that? I know for me, like, I go down a rabbit hole, right, of worry. It's just one thing leads to the next. How do you guys cope with that? How do you sort of break out of that?
I find making lists helps, especially, when there's the worry that I have is that I won't do the things I'm supposed to do on time, or I'll forget to do things, or I'll let something drop. So making lists and sort of ticking off, okay, what are the tasks for today that I need to get done? What are the things that need to get done by the end of this week? Those help. Mm-hmm. But I think more importantly, actually just sometimes talking to people, because often these things take on this huge, gigantic, like, proportion in your mind.
Exactly.
And then when you talk to somebody else, they give you some perspective, and they make you realize that, one, maybe you're not the only one who feels this way, or that it's not as looming a threat as it might feel to you.
I definitely agree with the getting your timing aspect that Sharmila said, that I find that having deadlines do help sometimes, especially if it's broken down into smaller tasks. So it's small, manageable tasks, instead of saying you have to do this one huge thing by next week, but you don't know where to start. And I think that that always sets me off as well, because if I don't know where to start, then I'm worrying that I don't have enough time to finish it, and I'm worrying I don't know what to do. And then, like you said, Julia, it falls down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what we were talking about earlier, mindfulness. And I remember there was this trend that started a couple of years ago, coloring books.
That's right. Right, yes.
I found that helps me a lot, to just take a break for a brief moment, and then after that, just having a clean slate almost to start back on, that I'm not worrying about this and that so many things, and you don't know what to do first.
And that's interesting. I mean, ever since I became a parent, you know, the worry just, of course, increased like a thousandfold, right? But colouring, I that is something that I do with my daughter as well, and I do realise my brain sort of just empties out, you know. It's just a nice thing to do. You're doing it with her as well, and you're in the moment, right? And you just calm down. But I think, I mean, I don't do meditation, I don't do yoga, any of that, but perhaps, you know, that is something that might be helpful to just sort of get us to train our thoughts into being in the moment, right? And to be calm and just to not constantly worry. But what you said, Sharmila, about talking to friends, I find that very, very helpful as well, because you build up these crazy mountains in your head, right? Yeah. Of like, oh my God, there's no way I can sort this out. And then, you know, speaking to good friends, they kind of just break down that mountain, and you realize it's just a few pebbles.
So hopefully. we did get a WhatsApp in from Ridza, who said he worries about almost everything, can't help it. But I guess it's not something that occurs only to individuals, but also to society and corporates. And that's why companies have risk management to address their worries and insecurities. That's an interesting perspective there.
Yeah. Yeah, worries everywhere.
But also that it's important to maybe safeguard. So that's the other thing, right? Perhaps if we figured out how we will better tackle that worst case scenario if it should happen, having that safeguard in your mind maybe lets you worry a little less.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. For some people, it's the not knowing that's the worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can always keep, if you're worried as well, you know, you can let us know. So maybe we might help. Maybe talking to us might help as well. You can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. And, you know, if you want to look us up on Facebook, you can look for BFM The Bigger Picture and drop us a message there as well. That's all the time we have for today's show. If you miss any part of it, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can search for it on the BFM app, and we're also on Spotify. For now, it's Bobby McFerrin. We couldn't resist with Don't Worry. Be happy.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.